Blog Talk Radio.
Internet and the ether where we can put our heads together for a short time and think about some of the issues affecting and influencing and being expressed by our craft. Freemasons, we're constantly in the season of imagination. Where I am moving toward winter time. I absolutely love winter. Color is so much different. The temperatures change where I am. It's bracing. I look forward to it. Oh, it's not everybody's cup of tea. Soon we're going to be celebrating a few hours or so. National event, great cup. It's a old school football with the forward pass, but it's great fun. It's where we wave the flag and celebrate whether you're a fan or not. So it allows us to step out of our cynicism and smugness and just enjoy the day. We have a good program, a really solid program for you. And I hope it continues to bring us together. We're going to be talking in the commentary today, the craft and deep the music is divine. You say it's captivating. Some of you are looking forward to coming up to summer. Yeah, particularly the listeners south of that the equator. So, and to you, I give a very warm and hearty love. Let's get on with the business of Masonic effects today. We have so much media, and often we seem to be delightfully distracted. Listen. We seem to be delightfully distracted by social media. I just find that fascinating, isn't it? That we're, it's like saying, well, I'm fascinated by this smooth paddle-operated transmission. So we need to stop and think about, I used to like that 3-speed on the column. They clunk and bang as the gear is engaged. I'm not too sure we should go near this new smoother transmission. I don't know any of us that deliver. Oh, if you're prone to driving some of the smaller European cars and just enjoying, and traveling and driving was just done because it was just so enjoyable. That literally is figuratively, metaphorically is not only stopping and smelling the roses, but you could put the top down and the windows down and just absorb and be part of the trip. And it was the experience. Somehow we lost track of that. When you lose track of that, you start thinking in terms of moments lost, and we've become quite insincere with our own use of time. We're thinking not about where we are, as we could in those days, but where we need to be. We're projecting ourselves always into the future. Or if we're wringing our hands, as often happens in life, we are often caught up with things that have happened in the past. Search, my brethren, for that moment, of those honest moments when you're here now, in the moment, where you are, and just legitimated by being mindful. Are you thinking about things from the past, or are you thinking about things in the future? Well, in fact, you only live and breathe right now in this moment. Oh, the theory might be correct, the past, present, and future exists all at one point. So be careful about that. This is Freemasonry. This is a bond of a brotherhood. That bond is well deserved, and it's an expression so deep in the human psyche that to say that women shouldn't experience it, or people that are in some way quirky compared to us shouldn't experience it, that it is our soul domain, is a bit thoughtless. It's a bit thoughtless when you think about it. It's like saying a child shouldn't laugh because of their birth rank. We don't have a world caste system. And no, money hasn't supplanted that notion. It's because we can't separate out wealth and greed. We can't. And yet, some thoughtful people will recognize that there's an importance recognizing whether people have enough. And who am I to say that my enough is yours? But we know when it's inadequate. We need to be able to give people opportunity and to live well. So food and education and safety, those are things that are there, and a right to practice their faith, not to intrude on the rights or to be aggressive about it or to use violence in promoting a particular ideology. No. That's always going to get a poor outcome. History attests to that, and that doesn't change much. But to live and coincide, that requires peoples that are confident with each other, always lurking and always mindful, that lurking in the shadows, as we saw in the Second World War and more recently in Bosnia and Croatia, where people, neighbors, came out in murderous rage against neighbors. The prejudice is always there. But to dwell on that, it's not sufficient. You and I are part of the prevalent, the dominant influence to that desire to cohabit, to live comfortably together. The expression of the brotherhood is becoming more and more important as the years tick on, as we're striding into the middle of the 21st century and beyond. The risk, the caution, is that it comes across and it's associated with some of the more rambunctious, vicious brotherhood out there. We become associated with a different narrative. So to demonstrate what we are and what we mean is important. And that's not to create in any way something artificial. Not you stepping out of your own skin. It's you recognizing and being comfortable in your own skin. That feeling of well-being is expressed inside of you and externally. How do your neighbors feel that? Well, don't expect that they're going to drop their concerns and cynicism. There are certainly reasons for people to feel cynical, but there's also underneath that is that compelling desire to find something that is reliable and truthful, something that people can be confident in embracing, something affirming, something that validates. We can't get too silly in our sentimentalism. No, nothing wrong with being sentimental, but where we begin to think that the old days were better, oh dear. Ignorance is bliss. Oh dear me. Certainly doesn't fit the meaning and ethos of Freemasonry, does it? No, it doesn't. We understand, and we have this desire to understand. It means we need to know things. And as we know things, our views will, if we're open-minded, will change. And at any given moment, if the feeble-minded will throw their hands in the air, you know, that jazz hands expression, the sky is falling. I know too much. It's too much. It's too conflicted. Well, it isn't too conflicted. It's always been there. Get over yourself. It is what it is. It's like saying, well, that's a bad star, or the process of the heat being processed and being produced by the sun, that's all wrong. Well, come on, really? What's wrong about geometry? What's the wrongness in mathematics? What's the wrongness in probabilities? Oh, because it affects you and I and people that we care about? Yeah. But wrong? Where did you ever come up with that? You think of the world as it really is around us. Here, we're part of something that's building, something that's important to our organizations. You need a bit of a treat, a bit of ear candy. And I think I might have found just that. This is an old tune, well, a tune that will be familiar to many of you listeners. La Vie en Rose, Galliano and Marsalis. Yeah, just a treat. Check this out. Thank you. To admit, in the hands of musicians like that, sometimes music just resonates, you know. It's one of those tunes. This is isn't that nice? The imagination in the capable hands of the fraternal order. Is that expression that incorporates you as a symbol of masonry. Well, we're going to get into a continue our study on the mnemonics, the messages, those little information bombs that we've collected. They're just brilliant. You know? And it's because we've given them some time. It's like a ritual. There was time taken to put it together. Carefully, each piece is a very interesting tapestry, and carefully constructed by the most talented people. Really has been, but we're going to examine a small part of that tapestry right now. Here in the commentary today, the craft and the deep craft. And, sit back and make yourself comfortable, and as comfortable as you like or need be, wherever you are. And maybe this will be your treat. We have more ear candy coming up. Some really beautiful jazz today. But this is the craft and deep craft. Let me share with you some ideas here, please. Drawing people toward an idea without answering the deeper question seems fraught. Planning by a core of committed Masons may not be the most balanced or productive perspective. How different would an engaged process feel? Moving forward, membership has access to an explosion of social media connections. The media, while defining, isn't the message to us. Various platforms have given us access to an unprecedented amount of information. It is overwhelming to those who lack filters or have difficulty seeing and pulling information together into coherent packages. Grand Lodges have been setting to this work, and where they exercise insight and foresight, results are solid. Unlike corporations, our large numbers of participants are pulled together unique purpose. We are and have always been a brotherhood, not gender sensitive. Think nominally. It is the bond of friendship that brings together men of conscience. When humans experience trust, it is the foundation of confidence. the experience of trust is based on communication, an exchange of ideas, the dialectic, putting out the ideas, being able to hold competing ideas in mind at the same time without being silly about it. Examine them for what they are. Reaction is not always balanced, too muscular, and it is troublesome. When avoided, confidence is eroded. But with insight, participants can correct course, and that is the necessary importance of each and every Mason as we move forward into a new era of Freemasonry. Being uninformed leaves us vulnerable, more so during periods of transition when our Achilles heel is well exposed. We don't do transition well. We're sensitive, but let's just recognize that it's a period where we need to be careful because the ideas are more like crystal, beautiful crystal. We are protective of the social contract that began formal organization, preservation of the ancient landmarks in exchange for acceptance of a structural authority. Freemasonry is organic and as such has many functions happening simultaneously. Higher order change will have a greater effect, of course, but this will not arrest the beneficial functions. We can rethink our relationship toward Grand Lodge as our representatives make recommendations to take us forward. Some decisions will require our trust in leadership.
Some dedicate some may alcohol or don't tell me how could it be true that I get a kick out of you. I get no kick from cocaine. I'm sure that if I could be the one tested for me to get sickly too, then I get a kick out of you. I get a kick every time I see you standing there before me. I get a kick, though it's clear to see you obviously don't adore me. I get no kick in a play, flying too high with some guy in the sky. It's behind you, nothing to do. Yes, I get a kick out of you.
Ah, that'll do. That'll do. Very nicely. Thank you very much. Right, Swift. Hmm. Yeah, I got a kick out of you. I'm going to go back to a time with you when you'll remember you were around. It was some 16th century, and a young woman was born. Oh, you were there. Make no mistake about it. She was born into a family of rope makers and surgeons and butchers. Fairly well based, and she was in Lyon, in France. But at some point, her father, still of humble beginnings, began to achieve something of himself socially. And he was actually summoned to the Assembly de Consuls of the city of Lyon to approve and participate in the founding of a relief agency for the poor. Oh, yeah, you were there. You remember. At some point, Louise Lebe received an education. She was perhaps in a convent school, but she excelled in languages, Greek and Latin, Italian, Spanish, and she was taught music, specifically the lute. But the interesting part about this poet, is that she was acclaimed as an extraordinary horsewoman and archer. And her early biographers called her La Belle Amazone, and report that she dressed in male clothing and fought as a knight on horseback in the rain. Well, male clothing, you could imagine those big billowing gowns on a horse, it just does not work. She fought as a knight on horseback in the ranks of the Dauphin, Henry II, and she is said to have participated in tournament jousts performed in Lyon in honor of the king's visit. Can you imagine? Diminutive, but with tremendous heart, tremendous courage. She married Edmond Parent, and he was also a Lyon rope maker. This marriage was dictated in her father's will. You know, he's bringing the family fortunes together, and this established a succession of rope manufacturing business that he was involved in. So, here, I'm going to share with you one of her most famous poems. This is Sonnet 24 by De Louise Lebe. And it's self-explanatory. It's a sonnet. Now sit back. You remember you were in a smoky tavern, and it was there was a drum and a lute and maybe a fiddle of some dimension, perhaps a flutes and. And the fire is going, and there's ale, lots of ale. Do not reproach me, ladies, if I've loved and felt a thousand torches burn my veins, a thousand griefs, a thousand biting pains. If all my days to bitter tears dissolved, then, ladies, do not denigrate my name. If I did wrong, the pain and punishment are now. Don't file their needles to a point. Consider love is master of the game. No need of Vulcan to explain your fire, nor of Adonis to excuse desire. But with less cause than mine, far from occasion. As the whim takes him, idly he can curse you with a stranger and a stronger passion. But oh, take care your suffering's not worse. What'd she say? Could be worse. Sorry, things didn't work out, but maybe you like him more. Maybe the fire is greater, but watch what you wish for. It's who will, if you're a student of poetry of the 16th century, I'm sure you're familiar, but in the off chance that you haven't, you don't read old French or even modern French, so you can repeat it and think, DeLuise Labbé. He catch our breath just a little bit, just a little bit. This is Stan Getz and Bill Evans. It's from their 1974 album. Check it out. Thank you. Stillevins and Stan Getz. They're a full album, but beautiful. Brilliant work. They fit so well together. It's hard not to appreciate Evans' work at the keyboards. Still with me, I hope. Me too. Sometimes it's interesting to think of ourselves and as symbols of our order. It's when we can think beyond our own skin and take seriously and remember the obligations that we've taken. And the need to not only the need to understand the obligations that we're taking, what it requires of us, what we're saying that we will do, and what we do believe in, but how do you express that day by day against this background of turmoil that's around us in life? It's an attitude. You can rise above it. Today, we think of this as we can bring forward these ancient philosophies and being able to understand our own thought process. Mindfulness is an excellent way of doing it. It brings about that calmness. And so we were talking about earlier, those honest moments, it's an excellent way to help us to live in the moment, as fully in the moment without the distractions. It's very comforting to put what's happening around us into a more natural perspective. One that accommodates us as a part of the nature around us, not as the intrusion, not as the dominant force or commander, none of that. It's like you claim to command the sun, stars, moon, the seasons. You're a little more in depth, understand our nature. And as you were there when this was written, perhaps like me, when you look in the mirror, it's like seeing a stranger. He looks older, his hair is gray, and has a few more wrinkles. He still smiles the same. The eyes are the same, but sometimes he seems to tire quickly. And sometimes when he bends to put his shoes on, he creaks. Well, when I look down at his hands, they seem like the hands of an old man. Strange. But he still has that heartfelt, warm nature, that curiosity, still. Here, sit down with me for a moment. Just a moment. I want to talk. I need to talk to you, share with you some things about symbolism and masonry, only if you're interested. Only if you're interested, of course. If you don't need to be part of it, that's perfectly fine and understandable. There's no wrong or right. But listen, we were talking earlier about a point within a circle, weren't we? Geometry. Can you imagine a time when geometry was considered the purity of God? Can you imagine that? You're giving yourself a moment. It's not too hard to think about it. How are you able to predict that right angle? That's when it was never done before. And it was a secret. We couldn't leave that in the hands of too many. Today, it's available. But how many people understand it? The 47th principle, Pythagorean principle. What about the 48th? I find that, I'm not going to tell you about that today, but it's very, very interesting. A point within a circle is going round which it is said the master and brethren cannot materially err. Explain the point within a circle. In all regular, well-formed Freemasons' lodges, there is a point within a circle in going round which it is said the master and brethren cannot materially err. The circle is bounded on the north and south by two perpendicular parallel lines. And on the north is said to represent St. John the Baptist, and that on the south, St. John the Evangelist. On the upper points of these lines and on the periphery of the circle rests the volume, supporting Jacob's ladder, which it is said reaches to the watery clouds of heaven. It also contains the dictates of an unerring, omnipotent, and all-wise being, so that while we are as conversant therein and obedient thereto as either of the St. John's were, it will bring us to him that will neither deceive nor be deceived by us. Conscience. Therefore, by keeping ourselves so circumscribed, it is impossible we can materially err. So that big circle within those lines, conscience. Here we have a fair statement of much on which our masonry was founded many, many years ago. Although many would reverse the qualities of the two saints, which are mentioned in this excerpt, while obviously arising to in a Christian country, its religious basis, which comes through so strongly in this extract, was in the Christian faith. Then, about 1816, Freemasonry was made non-denominational. An attempt was made to alter all the specifically Christian references. This particular passage was considerably altered. The two grand parallels became Moses and King Solomon, and the whole passage had to be considerably shortened as a result. The Bible became the volume of the sacred law, not only in this passage, but throughout the whole of the ritual. When the lectures were considered, the Grand Master of the day, the Duke of Sussex, decreed that they should be based on the old lecture system, such as we find in Brown's Master Key. And so the point within a circle, ritual-wise, became associated with the third degree, as it undoubtedly should in the revised sequence, but it continued in an abbreviated form in the first lecture. One of the syllabus books of William Preston's lectures belonged to Reverend L.D.H. Colburn, who was the Grand Chaplain, 1817-26, and a member of the Lodge of Antiquity, Preston's Lodge, between 1819 and 1822. And inscribed in this book is a short draft of a section of a lecture dealing with the dedication of the temple, and part of it reads, "How is this designation designed in lodges by a point within a circle with two parallel pillars described as tangents on that circle? Why? As representing the center of the universe, the divine architect whose goodness we represent in the sun, and for the benefits we derive from this great luminary. What does the circle represent? The zodiac is here represented as the prescribed motion of the sun's system to mark the limited nature of the most wonderful creatures we behold. What do the parallels represent? The tropics, to remind us of the supreme being who has set bounds to all creatures and prescribed the limits of planetary systems. Webb, the American writer who introduced so many of Preston's ideas to American Masons in the 1790s and after, is reputed to have seen the point as an individual brother, and the circle is representing the boundary line of his duty to God and man. John Fellows, who quotes Webb in his Mysteries of Freemasonry, that was published in 1871, says on his own account, "The point in the circle represents the supreme being. The circle indicates the annual circuit of the sun, and the parallel lines mark out the solstices within which this circuit is limited. The Mason, by subjecting himself to due bounds in imitation of the glorious luminary, will not wander from the path of duty." Sort of throws in that last part. I don't really follow where that came from, but it's like mother's milk. Of course, will not wander from the path of duty. So this should tell us that we can look at symbols and derive meaning depending on the unique perspective that we have. But to maintain the dignity of analysis here, the level of analysis, we would need to perhaps understand, have a sense of metaphysics, wouldn't we? All seem to agree on the important lesson of constraint, which is found in this device, which is now seldom actually seen in lodge decoration. Have you seen it? A circle with two parallel lines? Have you seen that? J.S.M. Ward sees a great deal of this Masonic symbol, although he appears to have been unaware of much of the history of its development, which has been given here. And he wrote, "The two straight lines were usually described as the two St. Johns, but are stated in our ritual to represent Moses and King Solomon. This, however, appears to be a mistake, for those two parallels undoubtedly represent the summer and winter solstices." Summer in Cancer and Capricorn, yeah. The predominant systems in the sky, which heathen festival and Christian days became identified with St. John in summer and St. John in winter. Thus, the other explanation is the more correct. As representing the summer and winter solstices, they correspond to the two pillars and stand for night and day, good and evil, male, female, and so forth. And in short, those pairs of opposites which bound the whole circle of human existence. Hence, when traveling around the circle, we are compelled to touch both these poles and thereby gain, through bitter experience, that education of the soul, which is the chief reason for our birth into this material world. Oh, a fellow seems to think that life and creation is bitter. Doesn't he? Isn't that remarkable? Isn't that interesting? I don't subscribe to it, but there you have it. Here, I'm going to share something with you. I'm faith, yes, I'm going to be completely self-absorbed here, and please tolerate me a little bit. This is from a concert done in Durham Cathedral by a singer, an English singer. He goes by the name Sting. Yeah, I know. What do you do? This is from an album called A Winter's Night, and it's quite, quite charming. It's beautiful.
The winds begin to sing, and the carnage travels fast as wind.
Just let your imagination go for a little bit. It'll be okay.
And when a woman tells me my fish is soon forfeit, before my heart I wager cruel, she's failed for that yet. Oh, the snow it melts the soonest when the winds begin to sing. And the swallow skims without a thought, as long as it is spring. But when spring goes and winter blows, my lassie, you'll be free. For all the pride to follow me across the stormy. Oh, the snow it melts, the sun is well, the winds begin to sing, and the bee that flew in summer shines, the winter cannot steal. I've seen a woman's anger melt betwixt the night and morn. Oh, it's surely not a heart of flame to feel a woman's scorn. Thank you. I'll never say me farewell here, no farewell I receive. And you shall set me till it's night, and kiss and take your leave. I'll stay here till the curl you cross, and the market takes his way. All the snow it melts, I'll soon assure the winds begin to sing.
That, eh? Look at that. You see, the roots of the masonry were, I think, almost coincidentally, but also factually, are Christian. You seem to be rooted in, around that narrative. It probably could have occurred in other places, but we're students and we understand that these ideas really gelled around in the empire. But it wasn't exclusive, certainly not. Not if you're a student of Scottish masonry. Our rituals, our mysteries are lost in these stories. Masonry is, after all, an idea that is conveyed in storytelling. When we necessarily give things away, we invite. You're welcome to the celebrations of the high holidays. You're welcome to celebrate and examine them. I can be sure, you and I can be sure, when we were riding in to Jerusalem and the Crusade, that the people there were not exactly feeling kindly as we were there to conquer them, to kill them, and do it for the sake of our Creator, in the name of our Creator. That madness continued until we were eventually defeated by superior military capability. Didn't really get us anywhere. Interesting part of our history. Some would say it's a bit embarrassing. It reveals a great deal. History tends to do that, doesn't it? If we examine it in its fullness, we only learn from that fullness, not from the bits that we re-engineer and want to believe. Far from it. Far from it. Because history can be manipulated to serve many, many masters. As we know today, never changes. But there's so much more to bring forward. We don't necessarily find that your good deed is being repeated in the front pages of the newspaper or on their radio waves. No. And perhaps it's that subtle and small gesture. You know, the devilishness of trying to do a deed for somebody that is useful in their perspective, not ours, not self-serving, and do it without people knowing. It's like, what are you saying? We should be doing this with strangers? What kind of folly is that? You know, I think tribally, I had to take care of my own first. I'm new here. I'm old here. Masonry shakes us out of our complacency. Thank goodness that it does. So as students of imagination and students of the mind, Freemasons, one and all, regardless of your gender, you deserve that feeling, to feel, whether you've ever had it, that bond of friendship, whether it's between men or how do we have that bond of brotherhood with women in the crowd? Well, we can't, you know, but can that experience be had by anybody? Absolutely. But it's it takes some, is it effort or awareness? I tend to think it's not so much effort, but awareness. You need to want it. So if you want it, it's like most things in life. If you raise the level of consciousness in your own conversation, then the conversation becomes enlivened. If you need to, you're not sure about how conversation occurs and how that enriched environment occurs, go and study it. You know, the fun is to study the Greeks. They taught us a great deal. Don't you love the idea of having somebody, we're sitting down with all our mates, and we're going to debate, whatever, and we know, everybody gets it. So, it's all within a sense of propriety. It's good fun. So that means nobody's going to get wounded and nobody's pride is going to be affected, nor is it going to be ridiculous and handled as bullies colliding. But the debate goes back and forth, the dialectic. So we can examine and press the speaker to enrich his ideas. So we can examine it in detail. But imagine doing that. And the first thing we do is we have a glass of wine. And that big bowl sitting in the front. And it's tended by minions. In those days, it was tended by slaves. And their task was to keep that bowl full and also to read the atmosphere of the room. So if the room was too lively and starting to get intoxicated, they would add more water to the mixture. And if the room was starting to become a little too temperate, they would add a little more wine to the balance, a little more alcohol level. Can you imagine having somebody do that for you? So you never had to worry about it. Their job was to always have you on that edge, just that tipple, enough to free your thinking, to be able to say the things that you would otherwise be too constrained to say. Well, we do that ourselves when we learn how. When everybody gets it, you go too far. Well, we've seen the results here. You go too far, some people have problems and health problems with it. We can't go too far. And if you do, make sure you're okay. Don't make a habit of it or you're a pain in the neck. So let me pull back today and say thank you very much for each of you for tuning in to Masonic Effects. We couldn't do this without you. I look forward to having you here again next week. We're going to be addressing the most profound question, why? Maybe it'll get around to why masonry? Why masonry? Oh, sometimes you ask the question, you're taught research, you know that the answer is found in how you word the question, how carefully you word it. I hope you'll take care of each other over the next few days when we're apart, and that you continue to commit those random acts of kindness that only a mason can. Here's a little something from Daz, Dom. This is lovely too. The tragedy and the voice that's put, the beautiful voice. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Austria. Thanks, Netherlands. Thanks, Belgium. Thanks, France. Thanks, UK. Thanks, Scotland. Thanks, Brazil. What's going on in Argentina with the football match? Thanks, South Korea. Thanks, US. Thanks, Russia. Thanks, Philippines. And India. And China. I hope you'll embrace us as we embrace you.
Viva.
Bye.
J'habite un coin du vieux Montmartre. Mon père entre sous tous les soirs. Et pour nous, nous les tous les quatre. Ma pauvre mère travaille au lavoir. Quand je suis malade, je reste à ma fenêtre. Je regarde pas ce qu'il y a des gens d'ailleurs. Quand le jour vient à disparaître. Il y a des choses qui me font un peu peur. Dans ma rue, il y a des gens qui se promènent. Je les entends chuchoter et dans la nuit. Quand je m'endors, je les sépare une rengaine. Je suis soudain réveillé par des cris. Écoute, c'est clair, les pas qui prennent qui vont qui viennent. Puis le silence, il me fait froid dans tout le cœur. Dans ma rue, il y a des ombres qui se promènent. Et je tremble, et j'ai froid, et j'ai peur. Mon père m'a dit un jour, ma fille, tu vas pas rester là sans fin. Et bon, on a rien chassé de famille, faudrait voir à gagner ton pain. Les hommes te trouvent. C'est ton joli, tu n'auras qu'à sortir le soir. C'est bien des femmes qui gagnent leur vie en se baladant sur le trottoir. Dans ma rue, il y a des femmes qui se promènent. Je les entends redonner et dans la nuit. Quand je m'endors, versé par une rengaine, je suis soudain éveillé par des cris. Écoute, si c'est les Pakistanais qui vont qui viennent, puis ce silence qui me fait froid en tout le cœur. Dans ma rue, y a des femmes qui se promènent. Et je crois, et j'ai froid, et j'ai peur. Et depuis des semaines et des semaines, j'ai plus de maison, j'ai plus d'argent. Je sais pas comment les autres y prennent, mais j'ai pas pu trouver de client. Je fais mon aumône aux gens qui passent. Un morceau de pain, un peu de chaleur. J'ai pourtant pas beaucoup d'audace. Maintenant c'est moi qui leur fait peur. Dans ma rue, tous les soirs, je me promène. On entend sangloter et dans la nuit.
Yeah,